This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
So good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Proverbs chapter 14, and we're going to read from verse 30. Everybody feeling good this morning? Yeah. Amen, amen, amen. Good to see Sister Anna. I'm glad she is here. Brother Albert, I know he may have slipped out. Oh, there he is. He moved up a little bit. We're so good to see these folks that have been down for a little while, but we're glad that they are back up again. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30. Scripture reads, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones." Sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. I want to preach to us or talk to us for a few moments this morning about the entrapment of envy. The entrapment of envy. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. A few days ago, I was eating some fine dining with my family down the road at the Golden Arches that we so often visit. And my kids, I don't think they really go there for the food, nor do I, but we like that it does have a play area that they can just exhaust some energy out, which we are very grateful for. So as we were enjoying our meal and the kids were playing, I noticed a couple came in. They had about three children, some small children, then a teenage daughter, and as they sat down, I said hello. But as I got to looking closely at their teenage daughter, I couldn't help but stare at her for a few moments because she reminded me of a young lady that I grew up with, and she looked identical. I mean, everything about her, it was her face looked, it was almost as if she was a clone. And kind of struck me for a few moments of thinking about bringing back old memories about how that me and this young lady had played together and grew up together. And you know, we probably have heard some person, or we may have experienced that where we've seen somebody, or we've heard about maybe somebody looking exactly like us somewhere else. Perhaps we say words like, "That's your clone," or "That I seen your twin the other day." But the fact of the matter is that there are no such thing as clones. You see, the fact is God is not in the cloning business. There are twins and there are people that look similar, but we are all uniquely made. There's not a Xerox copy machine up in heaven printing out duplicates. Because every one of us, we've got to remember that we are a part of God's plan and we are an original masterpiece, every one of us.
That's right.
And God specializes in making nothing but masterpieces. And even twins are not identical in every way. We've got to understand that every one of us have a unique thumbprint. We have a unique footprint. We all have different DNA structure. We have different eye prints. And in every way, we're different. They say our heartbeats beat a little bit differently. And no wonder Ephesians, Paul wrote these words in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "For we are His workmanship." We are God's master plan and design. David said, as we read this scripture often, he said in Psalms 139, verse 14, he said, "I will praise thee." And why is he saying, "I will praise thee"? He says, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And he says, "Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." David understood that he was a unique creation. The scripture says in 1 Peter 2 and 9 that we are a chosen generation, doesn't it? It says we're a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, because God has called us to Him. He said, called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So God has made us, each and every one of us, unique. You say, "Well, Brother Stevens, what does that have to do with envy?" Well, in this social media world that we live in, there are many people that are watching the lives of others. They follow each other on Twitter. They follow each other on Facebook and the different apps that are there on the internet and throughout our phones and the electronic devices that we have. And it appears that most are really not fulfilling God's plan and design for their life because they really do not feel like they are wonderfully made. They really don't feel like they're unique. In fact, the world teaches that we are all the same. If you go to a lot of, they teach humanistic views telling us that we just basically came from some cell that crawled up out of the ocean upon the land and that we're not unique. That's what the world teaches. It doesn't teach us that we all evolve. They say that we come from some cell that crawled out of the ocean. And so that's what the world's doctrine teaches. And so most of the world does not feel like they're unique. Am I making sense this morning? Because, you see, we've got to know that we are wonderfully made. Now, many are not satisfied with their job. They're not satisfied with their home. They're not satisfied with the way they look. They are not content. And so they begin to search for hope by watching others. That's why there's so many popular reality shows. People, and there's nothing wrong with being interested in somebody else's life. I'm not saying that this morning. But so many people are looking into the lives of others. They want to become just like the sports star. They want to become just like the singer. They want to become like so many things other than what God has designed them to do. You see, when we start watching others, when we start comparing ourselves with other people, you know what's going to happen? Questions are going to arise inside of us. Questions like, why are they always blessed? How does she always stay so skinny? Am I hitting home with this message right now? You ever do that? Why? How did he get that job? See, when you start comparing yourselves with others, these are what questions arise. And you say, well, I don't do that. Oh, yes, you do. You do it. We all do it. Why can't I be that wealthy? Why can't I sing like that? I put myself in this message. Why can't I preach like that? That's what happens when we start comparing ourselves with others. You know, why does he always kill that trophy buck? Why does she always get that sale at JCPenney? That's what envy does to us. And these questions lead us into a snare that we often get entangled in. That's what we're talking about. I'm talking about the entrapment of envy. You see, when one is envious, when you become envious, you lose your focus on what God has created you for. And you start focusing on the things that you do not have. Isn't that not what he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden way, way back? Did Satan come to her and say, hey, look at all this. God's trying to keep something from you. Isn't that not what he did? And so Eve started focusing on what she could not have, or could, for that one little tree that she focused on that one tree when she could have had everything in the garden, but she was focusing on what she could not have, not focusing on what she should have. And the enemy tries this, and it's called an entrapment of envy. You see, when one is envious, they lose their focus on what God created them for. Envy can cause one to lose their faith in God. Let me explain. Asaph, we're going to talk a little bit about him because he was entrapped by envy. Let's go to Psalms chapter 73. And it starts off well. We begin to read description, verse 1. He says these words, truly, Psalm 73 and 1. We got it? Not 7. Psalm 73 and 1. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord right now and worship him. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to see this. In Psalm 73, verse 1 through 3, it says, Truly God is good to Israel. He starts off well. Even to such as are of a clean heart. But then we start seeing something changing in his attitude. He said, but as for me, as for myself, my feet were almost gone. He says, I was starting to backslide because he says, my steps had well nigh slipped. Why? We see it in verse 3. For I was envious. And this is what is so bizarre in the scripture. Is because he was envious, not at the wise, not at the wealthy. He was envious at what? The foolish. And then he begins to talk about the rich. He says, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, he started asking questions. Why am I not wealthy? Envy started begin to build up in his heart. And Asaph began to get confused. And he said his feet was almost gone. He said, I lost my bearings. He said, I was in a state of instability. You see, if you continue reading this psalm, let's go down in Psalm 73. Let's skip down to verse 14. You start seeing something happening to Asaph. He says, for all the day long, verse 14 of Psalm 73, he says, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. Why was he plagued? Why was he in sorrow? Why was he being chastened every morning? I tell you why, because he was entrapped by envy. He began to be envious of the wicked and the ones that were prospering in his day. He began to be envious. And so what caused this pain and sorrow? What got into Asaph's system? What caused him to be in this state of mind? He was enslaved by envy. You see, for when somebody is envious, you'll take your eyes off God. And what he has created you to do, and then you begin to get sidetracked. You see, envy makes a person say, this is what envy will do to you. It'll make you say words like, I wish I was somebody else. Envy will make you say, I wish I had what they have or do what they do. It'll eventually make you think, God, this is what envy will do to you. It'll make you say, God, you made a mistake with me. You say, oh no, preacher, that I'll never say those words. But we do. In our thoughts, we say, why can't I sing like that person? Why can't I become like that young man? Why can't I look like that young lady? We say these things over and over again in our minds. And you know what we're saying to God? We're helping, we don't even realize it, but we're saying, God, you made some mistakes with me. Am I making sense this morning? You see, Lord, you say words like, Lord, you could have made me that intelligent. I could have been born in that family. That is what the entrapment of envy can do to your way of thinking. You see, it can make you say some crazy things and think some crazy things. Romans chapter 9, verse 20, Paul writes these words. He says, nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? You see, envy will cause you to start questioning your life, start questioning God, start questioning his plan.
That's true. That's
amen. True. You see, envy will cause you to insult God even. Because every time you wish you were somebody else, or every time you wish you had something else that somebody else had, trying to keep up with the Joneses, every time you say, I want to do what they do, every time that you say that, you're saying, God, you made a mistake. Well, this is good teaching right now. Because we all have been entrapped by envy. Let's go to some familiar territory. Exodus chapter 20. God's given the Ten Commandments to Moses for Israel. And you want to guess what the last commandment was? We're fixing to read it in verse 17. What was the last commandment he gave to Israel? He said these words to Moses. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You know what he's saying? Israel, I don't want you to be envious.
Amen.
I don't want you to covet after things of your neighbor's. Israel, he said, he's saying these words to Israel in these Ten Commandments. He says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, he begins to tell them, you should love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all thy might. He said, you need to love me with everything. And so, as he tells, God is speaking to Israel, he's telling them these things. He's telling them, don't serve false gods. Don't build idols. Don't take my name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He's telling them all these things in detail. He says to honor your parents. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't be a false witness. But also, Israel, do not covet. Don't be envious. Don't be caught in the trap of envy. You see, envy causes one to lose focus and perspective. Envy will always cause you to be distracted. Envy will make you look at everybody. You know what envy does? It makes you look at everybody and everything they have. Huh? Bass boat drives by and you say, man, I wish I had that bass boat. Huh? Pull up beside a Mercedes Benz and you say, man, I wish I could drive a car like that. Am I preaching? Because that's what we do when we get entrapped with envy. Causes us to lose focus and we look at everything and everybody. We don't need any distractions. Jesus, we read this last week in my lesson, Luke chapter 9, when Jesus said unto them, verse 62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus said words like this often in his ministry on the earth. Jesus was saying, you don't need to be looking back. You don't need to be looking around. You don't need to be distracted. That's what he was trying to get his message to the disciples. looking at your neighbor's possessions, comparing yourself with others. He was telling them, you know what you need to do, guys? You need to stay focused on me. What did he say to them? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Don't worry about possessions. Don't worry about everybody else. Seek me first. He told that to Israel. Seek me first. So if you're always preoccupied with watching what others do, or wishing you had what they got, or you know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be missing out on what God wants to do through you. God wants to use you. You know what God wants to use? He wants to use your smile. Your smile. He wants to use your personality. God wants to use your abilities that He's given to you. Not somebody else. God wants to use your talent.
Yes, He does.
God wants to use everything that He designed you to do.
Oh, yes, He does.
That's what God wants for us to do in the earth. To just what? Be ourselves.
Amen.
God wants to use you. Everybody say you. Let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, because Solomon writes a lot of wise things in Scripture. Verse 4, he writes these words. Again, he's saying, I considered all travail. He's saying, I looked over the earth, I considered all sorrow on the earth. He said, I considered every right work. He said, I begin to watch people for a while. And I begin to consider all travail and all right work. And then he said these words, that for this, a man is envied of his neighbor. Then he goes on to say, this is also vanity and vexation of spirit. What was Solomon saying right here? Solomon was saying that I know the reason why people work. I know why they work so hard in labor. He said, I know why they put in the overtime. I know and understand why they step on each other to get to the top of the ladder. It is because they are engulfed with envy. They're trying to build their own kingdom. That's what he's saying right there. They're trying to set up, trying to build bigger buildings and buy more land just because they want to be envied of their neighbors. They want to be the talk of the town. Isn't that not what I read? Solomon says it's like trying to catch the wind. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to catch the wind. We're trying to live the American dream. This is not a popular message in America right now, because a lot of people, they talk about prosperity. They want you to be prosperous. And God does want us to be blessed. Don't misunderstand me. But He don't want you to be envious. He goes on to say in verse 8 of the same chapter, he said, there is one alone and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother. Yet is there no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. What is he saying? Solomon's saying envy will give you sore travail. Envy will give you a dissatisfied soul. Envy will hand you vexation of spirit. Envy is the enemy of contentment. And God teaches us through His Word that we need to learn to be content.
Amen.
Envy says words like this, I got to have more. Envy will say, I got to have more money. I got to have another vehicle. When you don't really need another vehicle. Envy will say, I got to have more possessions. I got to have more power. I got to have more prestige. I got to have more pleasure. That's the entrapment of envy.
Yes, it is.
More, more, more. Proverbs, Solomon said it this way. 23 and verse 4, he says, labor not to be rich. Boy, if America needs a scripture on their refrigerator, it's this. There's people that are not in this house this morning. Because they're trying to get ahead in life. They're missing church because they want to get rich. They want to get rich. And he says not to labor for riches and gold, because it's going to pass away. If you don't remember anything about this lesson this morning, I'm going to show you how powerful envy is. We're going to turn to the book of James, chapter 3. If you don't remember anything I say this morning, please highlight this scripture. James chapter 3, verse 16, he says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Envy, its offspring, you know what it is? You know what envy begats. You know what envy breeds? Breeds evil.
Yes,
and when it breeds, it breeds every kind of evil.
Yes,
he says, every evil work. You see, that's why Cain killed Abel. Because envy will cause somebody to become a murderer.
It's true.
Think about Joseph's brothers. When they got entrapped in envy, what did they do? They was ready to kill Joseph. They threw him in a pit and was debating on what they should do with his life and then sold him into slavery, all because they were engulfed with envy. Saul tried to slay David in numerous times throughout the scripture because of what? Because of envy. He was jealous of him. Even Jesus, we're going to fix and read some scriptures you may have never seen in the Word of God. But you know, he was delivered to be sentenced by the religious leaders of his day because of envy. You know, when they brought Jesus to Pilate was, he had no clue who God was. Pilate was just a Roman leader. He had no idea who the Lord God Jehovah was. Had no idea of Scripture. But you know what he could see upon their faces? When those religious leaders brought Jesus to them? It was obvious, because we're going to read it here. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to read two accounts. We're going to turn later to Mark chapter 15. Matthew chapter 27, verse 17 says, "Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew," this is to Pilate here, "he knew for envy they had delivered him." He could see it on their faces.
Yes.
He knew the exact reason why they brought this man Jesus to him, because it was envy. It was obvious. Mark chapter 15 records the same story, verse 9. "But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for what? For envy." You know what envy does? Envy brings the ugly out of you. Doesn't it? It'll make you so mad. Jealousy will make you. Somebody that's ate up with jealousy, they never have a happy, joyous life. You see, envy infects the inside of you. And when it infects the inside of you, then it begins to affect everything that's around you.
Yes, it does.
Affects you on the job site because you're jealous because somebody else got a promotion. It affects you in your family because you're jealous of maybe another sibling because they got an inheritance that you were supposed to get. Whew. That's what envy does. It shows up on your countenance. You want a beauty tip, ladies, men? Don't get entrapped with envy, because you'll never smile. You'll never be able to smile if you're always jealous and envious of your brothers or your sisters or your coworkers or your neighbor or whatever. I'm telling you, you'll never find the happiness and joy that comes only from God if you've got envy in your heart. So if you want a great beauty tip, you need to get rid of envy. Because when you get rid of it, you won't have no problem smiling. You know why? Because you'll say, Dave, like David did, "I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm unique in every way. I don't have to have riches because my joy is not in that. I don't have to walk over somebody to get where God wants me to be, because I know if I'll humble myself before the Lord, He shall promote me." And when you think of those things, you'll start having joy in your heart again. Amen? Let's clap our hands unto the Lord right now. Hallelujah. That's why the scripture says, let's quote it, "Godliness with what? Contentment is great gain." Because if you are content, believe me, you're a rich and wealthy person. If you are content, you are happy with your life. You are happy with your church. You are happy with your home. You are happy with your income. You are happy. Can I go on and on? You're happy with your family. That's what contentment is. You're saying, "Lord, I'm satisfied with where I'm at. I'm content. I'm glad you put me in Moss Bluff. I'm glad you made me Robbie Stevens. I'm glad you gave me Lori Stevens as a wife. I'm glad you gave me four children." You know why? Because that's what contentment breeds. But if you are envious, it breeds every evil work.
Amen.
You start saying, "Lord, why'd you put me with this woman? Huh? Why'd you give me this job?" Godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember this, God has not called you to be the best at everything and anything. That's not what God's called us to be. Now, we need to strive for excellence. The Scripture tells us, let us go on to perfection, doesn't it? I think I've preached a message here about the power of being perfect or pursuing or striving for perfection. But God hasn't called us to be the best in the world at everything and anything. Because guess what? You're going to be very disappointed because you're going to find out there's going to be people in the world that can do things better than you. But you know what God has called us to be? God has called you to be the best you can be. I have no competition. Because God hasn't called me to compete with others. God has called me to be me. And you know what? You don't have any competition in the kingdom of God. Didn't we not talk about that last week when James and John and his mother say, hey, I want you to put my sons. I want them to sit on the right hand and the left hand. And you know what? The disciples were competing with each other. And what did Jesus say to them? This is not going to happen with you guys. I don't want you competing. He said, there's plenty of room at my table. That's what's so great about the kingdom of God. There's plenty of room for everybody. There's plenty of work to do. There's plenty of things to get done in the kingdom of God. Let's quit fighting against each other and start arguing. Let's quit envious. Let's get on the bandwagon and say, hey, God, I want to work for the kingdom of God. I'm not in this thing out of competition. Amen?
That's right.
You know what you need to do? You need to take your wonderful self, if I can say it that way. And you know what? You need to just do what God wants you to do. Take your talent, your abilities, your character, your personality, your skills. Use them in His kingdom. As we read in our opening text, Proverbs chapter 14 says, envy is the rottenness of bones. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, you know what it's going to do? It's going to eat away at your bones. Envy rottens the bones. Envy is a cancer that devours the soul. Envy destroys the cells of joy and peace in your life. So we've got to get envy out of our lives. You know, Asaph, he finally found a way out as we stand together this morning. Because when Asaph began to look at all the prosperity of the wicked and the foolish, and he began to talk about how that he was in sore travail and that he was angry and bitter and, you know, he was entrapped in envy. You know, Asaph, if you continue to read Psalm 73, he found the way out.
Yes, he did.
Because we read it in verse 17. He says, when I went in the sanctuary, he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. He said, when I looked out my front door, I seen things differently because I was full of envy. He said, but when I walked into the sanctuary of God, I realize they're in. I realize they're in. You see, you need to be grateful for who you are and content with what you have. In essence, everything we have, you've got to think about this as a gift from God. Think about it for a few moments. Our breath, our health, our homes. I should be getting some amens right now. Our families, our jobs, instead of looking, you know what? Instead of looking over the fence, you know what? We need to stop and look at where we're living at right now. You need to wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm able to tie my shoes this morning. That's something to be grateful for, amen? You see, we're fixing to take a short break. And as Asaph, maybe there's somebody here that you've been entrapped with envy. But you know what? You're in the right place.
Yes, you are.
Because in a few moments, as we take a short break, you can start thinking about the blessings of God. And there should be no reason at 11 o'clock or 11:05, whenever we start, there should be no reason why you should throw your hands in there and say, you know what, God? I'm thankful. I'm thankful. If you're thankful unto the Lord, won't you put your hands together for Him? Let Him know how much you appreciate Him today. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and grace. We thank You, Lord, for making us, Lord, exactly how we are, Lord. And for that, we are truly grateful. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your time this morning. We're going to take a break today. And I want to tell you, be content with what God has given to you. And guess what? You know what you'll find? If you learn to be content, He'll give you more. He'll bless you more. Amen. God bless you. Let's take a short break and we'll come back for worship at 11 a.m.